I want to thank all of you for all the help you've been over the last 3 years. Been so much prayer and concern and help given that it's been a real blessing. And especially here recently, what a blessing to die in the Lord. I mean, no more sin and no more pain. And then, thank you, Brian. And who is that guy back yonder? A Newman? Thank you. Brian and Adam for taking over for me last Sunday. And it's been a real blessing. And I just want you to know I appreciate your love and care and all the blessings you've been. Thank you very much. Let's stand and turn to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll read the first 15 verses. I'll read the first one, you read the second, and we'll read responsively. Let's do our best to stay together. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
And Abel, he also brought the first fruits of his ox and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth?
If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
And Cain talked with Abel, brother. And Cain had asked when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother, and slew him.
And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thankful we have your word in our hands. We thankful we can trust it. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that I know that only you can give. I do pray that your Holy Spirit will take your word this day and use it to modify lives, change lives, even save lives. God bless us with your presence. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Cain and Abel. We think about them as two boys. But by the time this story takes place, they're not boys. They're men. And by the way, they have a whole lot of brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and whatever. You have the most fertile man and the most fertile woman without a problem. All of us got problems. No, we got sinus problems. We got kidney problems. We got heart problems. They didn't have any of these things. They were perfect. They were made by God, Adam and Eve. So their children were really, really healthy people. Adam lived 930 years. Methuselah lived longer than him, 969, but then that's pretty good. Pretty good. And got these two sons. First one's Cain. Second one's Abel. I don't know how many other people there were in the earth at this time, but I believe there were quite a few. And Cain decides he's going to give an offering that he wants to give to the Lord. Now, the problem is he had a good father in Adam that he taught him better. I don't know how close a contact he had with God after they were put out of the garden, but he knew better. He knew there needed to be a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It's not just that God didn't want vegetables. It's not just that a shepherd is better than a farmer. No, it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about obedience to a command. Now, the story's not told us how he learned and how old he is, but these are not kids. And in fact, when you're thinking about these three men, Cain, Abel, and Seth, these are three sons that are named from Adam and Eve. And they're actually leaders of men. They're leaders of a group that thinks. Abel was of the people that thought righteous, and Cain was of the people that thought selfish. And Seth is one that replaces Abel after Abel is killed. So we're talking about leaders of men. You know, we got a lot of problems today with people getting killed. Kids getting killed, drive-by shootings. Chicago, I heard something lately. Man, it's one of the most murderous cities in the United States and maybe the world, as far as I know. But look here, in the Bible, they killed. Cain killed his brother. Now, you can turn on the news tonight and you'll read about somebody getting drunk last night and shooting his father or his brother or his sister or his wife. Right here is the first murder in the Bible. Not only the first children, the first murder in the Bible. Another thing, it is the first man of faith, Abel. Abel's a man of faith. He believed, he obeyed, he was righteous. And God testified to his righteousness. That's some of the other verses that I'm going to read here in a little while and bring it in connection with this. God had respect to his offering and to him. And he did not have respect to the offering of Cain, nor the person of Cain. So it wasn't just one, it's either one. No, it's both the person and the offering. Now, he brought of his fruit. I'm sure he brought the best. I'm sure he picked out the very best. I'm going to offer this to God. Have you ever decided you're going to do something for God that God doesn't want done for him? A lot of people are doing it. Today, all around the world, people are serving God the way God does not want to be served. And that's what we have right here. We have Cain and Abel. Abel obeys the Lord, the instructions that he's gotten. Cain doesn't. Cain wants to do it his way. Now, it's an amazing thing here. God tells him in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, what's the problem? Sin. Sin lieth at the door. If you're not doing well and your sacrifice is not accepted and you're not being blessed, what's your problem? Generally, sin. Generally, it's sin. Amen. That's some of my biggest problems. Amen. My troubles, my problems, things that happen in my life generally come from sin. Now, they may not be big sins or heavy sins like murder or rape or something else like that that we think is just absolutely horrible. But boy, a lot of little things we do sure steal our joy. Losing our temper, not controlling our anger, thinking you ought to have more than what you have, being jealous of what somebody else has. All of these things can really steal our joy. I've known some really miserable people that their circumstances didn't merit that. They didn't need to be miserable. They just didn't think right. And if you don't think right and think about the blessings of God, do you know, suppose somebody has more than you. So what? There'll always be somebody has more than you. You think you're supposed to have everything? No, everything is not supposed to come your way. Now, Cain didn't get the respect that he wanted. So he goes out and it says he talked with Abel. And he got man angry. What do you reckon Abel did? I'll bet you he defended righteousness. I'll bet you he said there's truth and you knew better. Either Dad taught us or God taught us or whatever, but man, in the story right here, they knew better. They knew what they should have done and they just didn't do it. And so Abel stands up. I've been preaching 57 years come September 1st, at the end of this month. I have met a lot of people that got mad at me for just saying what the Bible says. Amen. Just opening the book and give it to them, and they just are furious. They get irate. So you never know what sort of response you're going to get with certain people because, hey, listen, all the crazy people aren't locked up. Have you figured that out? That guy that goes up with a flak jacket and an AR-15 or whatever and goes in this movie theater where nobody there's got any guns and there's no protection and nobody's expecting anything, and he kills all these people and he thinks he's a great big hero. He's a stupid coward. Besides that, he's an idiot. He's crazy. He wants to be famous for killing people, probably. Isn't that crazy? I would think it is. Well, I guess crazy goes all the way back to just past the Garden of Eden. Why would Cain rise up and kill his brother over a religious dispute? Oh, wait a minute. How about half the wars in the world today? What are they over? A religious dispute. What are they over? Well, you're a Muslim and I'm a Christian, so isn't that the truth? And Christianity, we supposedly sent the Crusades over to free the Holy Land. Well, we killed an awful lot of people in the name of Christ. We didn't do it, but Christianity did it. We are in a world that has is probably one of the greatest sins, murder. And it began right here in the garden, right out of the Garden of Eden, right here, out here in the book of Genesis. We have murder. A brother murdering a brother over a dispute, losing his temper and anger. Now, I've heard quite a few people that go into court and they say, I was angry, or I was drunk, or I didn't know what I was doing. Well, one thing you did know not to drink the first drink. You're at fault that way. Amen. For sure. Amen. And then you're at fault in letting your anger get a hold of you. Amen. How much damage has anger done to you in your life? Amen. For whatever reason. There are families right now divided, haven't talked to each other in 25 years over something stupid. Over blaming somebody when they may not have been at fault at all. I've seen a lot of things like that. So Abel rises up and kills him. He didn't have a gun. I don't know how he killed him. But his blood was shed. So I would think a knife or a rock. Maybe a stick. But it was a weapon. Or maybe physically. Maybe just physically he was stronger or whatever. So all the guns do is make it a little easier. Because we have these guns, it is sure easier to murder somebody. But if you take away all the guns from the law-abiding people, you know what you're going to have? Just crooks with guns. Amen. And that's a big mistake. Amen. Now, the story is, God comes and asks him a question. Where is Abel, thy brother? You know, you really need to be careful when God asks a question. He knows the answer already. When he came into the Garden of Eden and looking for Adam, what the Adam? He knew where Adam was. He's letting Adam figure it out. God asked some questions and he knows the answer. He said, where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. And well, he lied right there. He knew exactly where he left him laying. Knew exactly where he'd killed him or buried him or whatever he did with him. I'm not sure. And then he said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, let me give you a little revelation. You are. You want to be like Cain? Am I my brother's keeper? No, no, no. You are your brother's keeper. If your brother's in trouble, what's a brother born for? Adversity. You think that meant for adversity they're going to fight all their lives. Well, that's a little bit true too. But the brother, the family, the loved one is who you go to when times get bad. They're the people that come to help. Man, I have received so much help from brothers. I receive so much help from my sons and daughters and friends. That's what happens in times of adversity. So he says, am I my brother's keeper? Now, let me ask you something. Can you get out of that? I don't think you can. Yes, Cain was his brother's keeper, and he should have been keeping him, not killing him. And you're your brother's keeper. I know you may think, well, it's their problem and what, you know, down the line. No. You've got a responsibility according to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a guy that got robbed, beat up, left on the road to die. And a very religious man walks by and he said, oop, that'd get me dirty. I'd look awful bad when I go to preach. So he walked on the other side. And then there was another came by. He was a religious guy too. And he said, oh, goodness, I don't want to get into that. And then there was a guy that came by and he got down and gave him some aid, helped him out as best he could, put him on his own beast, took him to an inn, and told him to care for him and that he'd pay for it when he came back through. Am I my brother's keeper? You sure are. I don't think we do a very good job of that sometimes. But we do have a nation that does a very good job of it. I know people fall through the cracks, but there's no place in the world like this America. There's no place with people like the Salvation Army and the Red Cross and many churches with things that they do for people and orphanages and nursing homes and hospice. Let me put in a good word for hospice. Buddy, they lived up. They lived up to their reputation. I still got to write the letter to them, but they let her die in her own house with dignity and ease. And I just appreciated it. They were just so quick and so good. We've got all these things here. You don't have them around the world. Oh, there's some places where there's influence and whatever, but bless your heart. This is a very generous country, not only a very rich country, it's a very generous country. And thank the Lord for that. Yeah, you're your brother's keeper. And you ought to think about how you need to keep your brother. Boy, I'll tell you one way, they need to hear the gospel. Even if your brother gets mad, like Cain got mad at Abel. I have that to me, this is classic. Abel is telling him the truth. Abel is arguing for the Lord's side. He's arguing for the blood side. Cain didn't want to have to go buy a lamb from his brother to offer unto God a blood sacrifice? Maybe. I don't know. We aren't told much. We just know it's the first murder. Be careful when God asks a question. Remember, He always knows the answer. Now, there's a law of blood. If you look at Genesis 9:5, two verses here, 5 and 6. Now, there is no law like the Ten Commandments at this time. But there was still a law. And it's the law of blood. Genesis 9:5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. What's so valuable about us? Some of us don't think much of us, or any others of us. You're made in the image of God. You're a representative of God. You have a mind like no other beast on the face of the earth. You may be nothing more than a meat machine to you, but God gave you a mind. He gave you a conscience. He gave you a knowledge of right and wrong. He gave you the will to do good or to do bad. You make the choices. You choose and you live the way you want to live. But I want you to understand, sooner or later you're going to stand before the great judge of all the earth. And he has this to say about blood. He said, blood cries to him. He said, blood must be paid for. And if you shed that blood, your blood's going to have to be shed itself. There's a law. It's a natural reaction. It's just like rain. It's like storms. It's like hurricanes. Like volcanoes. When you kill people and that blood goes into the ground, there's a reaction from God. And you know what? Abel's blood still crying from the ground. It's testimony. Interesting to me. There's another verse about that in Numbers 35, 33. Numbers 35, 33. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. That's an absolute law of God. That's what takes place in the earth. You know, there's some Christians, I don't hear much about them now, but they were taking the blood out of all the hymns. They had their hymn book. And they took blood out. But you know, the Bible is full of blood. And I know you don't like blood. I don't like blood. I don't like to smell blood. I don't like to see blood. I'm not quite like when I went into the Air Force, they were pushing us in a line. We're all naked in a line, going down the line. And they're shooting us with two shots at the same time in each arm. You know? Great big football player just go wipe out. My wife could have never been a nurse. She couldn't stand the sight of blood. It wiped her out. Now see, some people can't handle certain things. Well, let me tell you what your earth can't handle. Your land can't handle. God is getting a judgment up against, and he's going to move against blood being shed. And if you're in a place that's allowing blood to be shed and the lives to be lost and innocent children to be killed, and good night, man. There's a price to be paid. He says right here, it can't be cleansed except by the blood of the one that shed it. You ought to be real careful about thinking about what you're going to do. I'll kill you. You ever said that to anybody? Yeah, most of you probably have. Amen. I hate you. Hey, it's somebody in the image of God. And so it says there in Numbers, you cannot cleanse this land but by the blood of him that shed it. So, hey, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is a normal way of thinking. And in the Bible, it's very true. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if you shed blood, then your blood must be shed. Now, there's another verse. It's all the way in Revelation 18:24. It's talking about this great city. This great, wicked city. And I want you to notice how God frames it. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Why is God going after this Babylon? Blood. Blood. They've killed an awful lot. And so all the blood that their God says, I'm going to take care of. You don't shed blood without God noticing. You know he sees everything you do, don't you? Amen. How could we be so stupid as not to know you can't hide anything from God? He knows everything. So when you shed blood, you don't think he sees it? You don't think you're going to have to pay for it? You don't think you're going to be turned upside down when you meet God? And I've had people say, yeah, I'm going to tell the old man when I get up there. Yeah, right. His best friend fell at his feet as dead when he saw him. Plop. And that was his best friend on this earth. What are you going to do, sinner? What are you going to do? You better have an answer. Well, Abel's blood's not your answer, but it's a testimony to it. All right. Talking about Cain. There's an interesting thought about him in 1 John 3:11. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's even from the beginning. Cain was supposed to have loved Abel. And Abel was supposed to have loved Cain. They were brothers. It shouldn't have been the animosity and the envy and the anger. They should have loved one another. And so if you love somebody, even when you're mad at them, you don't do certain things. You should love one another, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, here we are in the fourth chapter of Genesis, and Cain is of the devil. He proved it by his works. He proved it by his sacrifice. He proved it by what he did. He proved it by the way he answered God. We're supposed to love one another, not as Cain, who slew his brother. Look at Proverbs 15:8. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your life. He'll take a sacrifice of somebody whose heart's right, but he won't take a sacrifice on somebody whose heart is wrong. You have a responsibility to serve God. Every one of you do. You're his creation. He made you most like himself. What a wonderful thing. But you know, God looks on the heart. Proverbs 21:27. Says the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Just being wicked and offering a sacrifice, it's an abomination to God. It's a terrible, bad stink. You ever had anything that just turns you off? That's what an abomination is. That's what it does in the nostrils of God. And so the sacrifice of the wicked, God sees the wicked coming and offering sacrifice to him. He despises it. He despises it. It smells bad. It's ugly. But what if you come and you still got a wicked heart too? You offer an abomination with a wicked heart. Hey, sounds bad to me. I think that's a problem. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. What is Cain doing? Cain is approaching God and offering a sacrifice to God. Supposedly, he believes in God. But his works don't match up with somebody that believes in God. He believes in God. He offers a sacrifice to God. God doesn't accept it. Why? Because of his character, first of all, and then because of the sacrifice, second of all. These two things go against him, and it go against every other wicked sacrifice. It's an amazing thing how people think today about God and how to reach God and how to get to God. I heard, I was looking at a show, it was, Starsky and Hutch, maybe. And one of the guys had been delivered, almost got killed, you know. He said, man, the next time I see a holy man, I'm going to lay a five on him. Your life's only worth $5. It's just the way people think. God's just happy with anything I do. If I just go to God and lay a little five, I go there and spring a little holy water, I go there and, no. God's looking at your character, and if you come to God, you better come repentant. There's no other way you can go into the presence of God. Amen. Repent. Christian friend, you might ought to be doing some repenting before you do even praying.
Amen.
I know you've been forgiven. I know. But you're still a pretty wicked person, aren't you?
Amen.
Let me talk to your wife or to your husband.
Yeah. Amen.
By themselves. I learned never to advise young people in marriage problems separately. Bring them together, because they'll tell you the truth together, each one of them going back. But now when one of you is telling by themselves, you get a different slant, don't you? Well, anyway. Children of God and the children of the devil. Look at 1 John 3:10. I mean, here we are, right in Genesis, the first children, and what do we have? Children of God and children of the devil. You got them both. This has been going on a long time. I mean, this is Cain and Abel. Cain is of the wicked one. Abel is of the righteous one. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is in 1 John 3:10. And then look down at verse 12. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Then the Gospel of John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's talking about Cain. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. What you have in this story in Genesis is the setting of the scene for the rest of the world. Has there been a lot of murder? Oh, goodness gracious, has there been a lot of murder? How many people have died in wars, meaningless wars? How many people are dying today because of their religious beliefs? The Muslims, they got three sections and none of them like each other. And they're killing each other right and left, and same way in a lot of other countries. Life means nothing. Blood means nothing. Oh, but I want you to know, there's an answer. There's a payday someday. Because God's in the picture. Now, if God weren't in the picture, it might be all right if you got more bullets than the other guy that you can win out. But it's not going to make any difference when you face God. And by the way, you only hear a very short time. Now, that's from someone that's 77 years old, and I'm looking back. Now, when I was looking at 16 to 77, oh, goodness. Looked a long ways away. Looking back, it's like a couple of months. You better live what you're going to do right now, man. Because it's going to get away from you before you know it. You too busy working to have any fun with your kids? You better pay off a little bit of work, do with a little less money, and have some fun with your family. Because they're going to be gone, and they're gone so quickly, and they're so busy with their lives and their children and their family and their jobs, and good night. It passes fast. Berlin had 74 great years, never in a hospital except for having babies. Five babies. Otherwise, she was as healthy as could be till 3 years ago. And then, everything changed. You can't tell. I believe she had outlived me 20 years. Never did I come to a thought that she would die before me. But, hey, we don't make those choices. That's in God's hand. And some of us die at 50 and some of us die at 100. And there's some of them that live to be 103, drinking a fifth of whiskey every day and smoking 25 cigars. And the doctors tell you you can't do that. But hey, yeah, some people do. You might smoke, die at 28. You can't tell. That's in God's hands. Like a lot of other things in God's hands, and you need to recognize they're in God's hands, and you pay attention to what's in God's hands. Well, I'd like to talk about the testimony of blood that we have in here. Blood is important. We sing about the blood. We talk about being cleansed by the blood, washed in the blood. I don't apologize for the bloodiness of the Bible. I believe it's a principle of God. And blood represents the life. I tell you what, your blood goes, you're not going to last long. When the blood goes, it gets sick in the blood. Man, it affects everything else. Blood is important to God, and blood is important to the land. Remember what it said about the land being polluted? Because the blood that was in it, and the blood could not be erased except by the blood of the one that caused it. Well, look at some more verses on the blood. Luke 11:51. Luke 11:51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. That was the last one that died in the temple there. So you got the blood of Abel all the way up to almost the time of Christ. All the blood of those saints, all the blood of those prophets, all the blood of those preachers. You know, it wasn't healthy to be a prophet. Really wasn't healthy. But you go out and tell the king, this is what God's going to do. And he says, I'm going to cut your head off. And he did. In fact, the greatest prophet was John the Baptist. Jesus so said. The greatest prophet. He had a 6-month ministry. Not a 57-year ministry. He had a 6-month ministry. And Herod cut his head off. But hey, who won? Herod didn't win. Hey, John the Baptist was rejoicing. John the Baptist had his head cut off. Hey, I'll tell you what. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias in the temple, it shall be required of this generation. God said people are going to pay for that blood. Now, you might not know how they pay, but you might pay in a war. You might pay in a hurricane. You might pay in a volcano. You might pay a lot of ways in sickness. Your land might pay by being conquered over by somebody else and everything that you thought was valuable be wiped out. But let me tell you something. There's a law about blood, a testimony of blood, and in the Bible from the very beginning, right here, that we're talking about Cain and Abel, all the way down to the end, God's still talking about the blood being paid for. Look at Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Cain could kill him, but he couldn't keep his blood from crying. Cain could kill him, but he couldn't keep his blood for calling out to God for vengeance, justice. My life was taken wrongly from me. I didn't get to see my great-grandbabies. I didn't do this or that. Hey, there's a lot of that in the Bible. And by the way, there's a lot of that going on around the earth today. You're lucky where you are. You are blessed to be where you are. I never ceased to thank God that I was born in America. To Christian parents. Wow, what an opportunity we've had. Still have. What we're having this morning, right here. The idea to differ with somebody and to state what the Bible says without being shot for it. Or killed for it. Or have my wife raped and drawn apart. Terrible things, terrible things. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. Not only we have the first murder, we got the first man of faith. Here he is testifying. Here he is. Take a look. You want to see a man of faith? Abel's a man of faith. I don't know if Cain was bigger, stronger, meaner. I don't know. But at any rate, Abel died. And he died because of his faith. He died because he stood up for God. And Cain killed him because he was angry. He was of the wicked one and he did not like Abel's testimony. But he cries out to this generation. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now look at Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood's been crying a long time, and God said it's righteous blood. Oh, but I'll tell you, Jesus' blood, what does it cry? Redemption.
Amen.
Take a look at the blood on the cross. What does it say? Salvation.
Amen.
What it says is heaven.
Amen.
What it says is forgiveness.
Amen.
What it says is acceptance. Yes, Jesus' blood testifies to more. It's better than Abel's blood. Abel's blood was great. Abel's blood was righteous. Abel's blood was a testimony. Abel's blood cried out from the ground to God Almighty. What does Jesus' blood do? Oh, man. I walk into the inner sanctum of the throne of God in heaven every day. You can too. You don't even have to have a priest. You don't have to be in a special building. You don't have to have on certain clothes. You can walk into the presence of Almighty God. You know how? The blood of Christ speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Tell you what. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Are we brethren of the Lord? Wow! Wow! Talk about name dropping. Oh, you shook hands with the President of the United States. Let me tell you what, I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God, an heir of heaven. I'll drop some names on you. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 13, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. A more excellent sacrifice. What was so much better about the blood of Christ than the blood of Abel? Well, if you read the book of Hebrews, and you ought to read it every once in a while, just read the book of Hebrews to see how much better Christ is than everything else. Better is the word you ought to look at when you read the book of Hebrews. Because Jesus is better than Moses. He's better than angels. His blood's better than Abel's. He's better.
Amen.
Wow. He's better than religion.
Amen.
He's better than those old priests. He's better. I tell you what's great. Look at Hebrews 11:4. Just read it for you just a little while ago. Read it again. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he being dead yet speaketh. Wow. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. God testified of his gifts. God testified that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Wow. And he being dead still is preaching.
Amen.
What are we doing today?
Amen.
Here I am. This is probably 6,000 years ago, at least. I don't know if we can get all the dates right. I know the scientists don't have it right. But at least 6,000 years ago, according to the chronology of the Bible, and we're still preaching about Abel's blood. Abel's still testifying. He's still testifying, I stood for the Lord. I'm on the Lord's side. He's still testifying, I did the right sacrifice. I approached God the right way. He's still testifying, my blood's crying from the ground. Great thing. Oh, what about Christ? What is said about Christ in Hebrews 12:24? Hebrews 12:24. Look at it. You ought to mark it. You ought to see Verlaine's old Bibles. They are so marked up. Amazing. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Praise God. Abel's blood spoke good things. Spoke righteousness. Spoke truth. What is Jesus? Better things. Better things. Forgiveness of sin. Wow. Forgiveness of sin. I will never forget, and you've heard it so many times, I apologize, and then I don't. I asked for forgiveness one night. One night. Prayed most of the night, prayed several hours in the early morning. Of course, I was trying to think of every sin I ever committed. Not just general sin. So I maybe did it the hard way. I don't know. But the forgiveness of sin that I emotionally felt went through me. Wow. Wow. Everything. According to this Bible, everything I ever did and everything I was ever going to do, Jesus had already taken care of. And when He presented that to me, there was a load off my back like you wouldn't believe. I wasn't religious so much anymore. I was saved. And boy, that's a difference. I was saved by the blood of Christ. Wow, to read about it, to talk about it, to think about it. Man, it never grows old. I preach the gospel every time I get up. I may be teaching on tithing. I'm going to get the gospel in somewhere. I just can't get over it. I don't guess I'll ever get over it. I was reading a letter. I've been going through Verlaine's things, trying to find where everything is. You know, where are the bank books? Where are all this other stuff? What do I have to do? Because she's done it all for 59 years. I have never filled out an income tax form. 59 years of marriage, all I've ever done is sign it. I didn't even look at it half the time. Sometimes I told her, do it over and save me more money. Wow. Forgiveness of sin. Forgiven. Not because I'm any good or because I was going to be any good. Forgiven. We know you're a sinner. Just admit it. Forgiven. Amen. I know you can't live like you ought to live. Forgiven. Just acknowledge it. How many people just won't acknowledge their sin? We know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. And I technically, I'm a saint now. Praise God. I'm St. Lindell. May not be St. Paul or St. Peter, but I'm St. Lindell. And you know why I'm a saint? Because of the blood of Christ that washed me clean and gave me perfect righteousness.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
That's good stuff. God bless you. See you next week.